Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
We're now 80 days away to the Rio Olympics in Brazil. Joining us now from Rio de Janeiro with an update on the city's Olympic preparations is our friend Luis Piazzet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sport Olympic greetings, Sonny. The biggest news about the Olympics today has nothing to do about the games. It is about the impeachment of Dilma Rousseff and the interim president of Brazil, Michel Temer. Attentions related to the preparations of the Olympics are turning to what might would happen now. Will this major event muddle the beauty of the games? In short, at least for the time Dilma Rousseff is out for 6 months, until the entire process of impeachment is finished, we no longer have in place a pseudo-communist system disguised as a democracy. Although we had that replaced by a power against the extreme left Latin American group of countries, we are under a government of a group of politicians no honest citizen can trust. And this is our justice system saying. Each one of them are under investigation of graft and mismanagement of public money, including the mayor of Rio de Janeiro involving Olympic venues constructions. It is safe to say that sports have nothing to do with anything else but the sponsors and advancement of technology, physiology, exhausting training, and the iron heart to overcome obstacles, to break records, to execute better. This was the feeling we grasped in this sunny, pleasant weekend past, when finally we had the first time a true Olympic Games atmosphere going on in the city. In all the four areas where our Olympic venues, qualifying or training, were taking place, judo, wrestling, boxing, shooting, archery, sailing, and athleticism were the active categories. The indoor sports athletes and coaches were so focused that we were not able to talk with. Among sailors, we heard only excitement with the so many changes of wind and tide current on the bay and the astonishing landscape sight. By the way, they were not too fussy with the pollution of the water. The athleticism taking place at the Nilton Santos Stadium, a brand new venue built in 2007 for the Pan American Games, then renovated for the World Cup in 2014, and now again almost rebuilt altogether for the Olympics. Franciela Krasuki and Kleberson David were among runners and confirmed their favoritism for the games. Franciela is a sprinter and competes in the 4x100m relay for the Brazilian team, among which is the top Brazilian sprinter Rosângela Santos, who started a polemic in the news this weekend complaining about the harassment of the press and about the newly built track of the Nilton Santos Stadium. It has a dangerous slope, says Rosângela. On the same day, Kleberson David, who is married to the sprinter Franciela, also not only qualified for the games, he became a serious contender for the gold in the 800m. It is a special achievement for Kleberson. In the London 2012 Olympic Games, he was cut off the competition by a mysterious illness. Up until today, not even he knows what it was. A strange combination of sudden stomach malfunctioning, sore throat, fever and numbness made him to arrive in London and go straight to the hospital. Back in Brazil, after 4 years of many injuries, He's confident now to go for the gold. I'm Luis Piazet for the Sunny Side of Sports in Rio de Janeiro.
Thanks, Luis. Luis mentioned how Brazilian 800-meter runner Kleberson David has the confidence to go for the gold at Rio 2016. Kleberson won the 800 meters race at the test event in Rio de Janeiro. Meanwhile, American 800-meter runner Brandon Johnson says the chance to compete against Kleberson and other Brazilians has boosted his confidence.
Coming to races like this where everybody is fast and everybody is sharp and ready to go, and so this just helps me out running against the Brazilian guys where they're, I wasn't expecting to run 146 the first round, so I was like, oh, okay. But it's good. I mean, I need this. This is what it's going to be like at my championships. So it's good that these guys are already getting ready for their, this is their way to do it. So it's good.
Elsewhere, Puerto Rican sprinter Carol Rodriguez says she likes the Maracanã Olympic Stadium in Rio.
I like the facility a lot. It's really nice. Track feels really good. The warm-up facility is really good. This should be great for the Olympics.
The Olympics will officially open August 5th when the opening ceremony is held at the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. A top American markswoman, Kim Rohde, is aiming to win a sixth Olympic medal in Rio. VOA's Mike O'Sullivan caught up with her during practice at a shooting range in California, and he filed this report.
Kim Rohde shoots skeet and trap, aiming at one or two clay targets launched with different trajectories through the air. The sport requires fast reactions and a keen eye. She first competed in the Olympics 20 years ago in Atlanta and has brought home Olympic medals from every games since then, including three golds. She loves being one of the world's top competitors.
And no matter what the event, we all kind of have that common thread or that common story of overcoming or never giving up that really, I think, speaks to the, you know, creed of the Olympics.
Sharpshooter Annie Oakley is one of her inspirations.
I mean, shooting was something that was kind of like the Wild Wild West. It was something that kind of is in the fiber of our country. And there's quite a few. Annie Oakley is definitely one. I definitely love the fact that she went out there and gave the boys a run for their money.
Rohde gained national prominence at her first Olympic competition at age 16 and addressed the Republican National Convention before the last presidential election 4 years ago.
Thank you.
Shooting has been a family activity, and Rohde practices with her father, Richard.
My grandfather was a houndsman and grew up in Montana, and he basically brought all those hunting and tradition and outdoor heritages with him, and which time he taught my dad, and my mom and dad taught me.
And she has her eye on the target as she readies for the Rio Games.
It's really been an incredible journey, one that I feel very blessed and honored to have had.
Like other athletes from around the world, she hopes to bring home more Olympic gold from Rio. Her qualifying rounds for the games wrap up this week. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Tuesday night when the Cleveland Cavaliers host the Toronto Raptors in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. The Cavs should be well rested. They haven't played since May 8th when they closed out a four-game sweep of the Atlanta Hawks. Superstar LeBron James and the Cavaliers are hoping to advance to the NBA Finals for a second year in a row. Last year, Cleveland lost in the championship round to the Golden State Warriors 4-2. The Raptors, meanwhile, have reached the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in club history. The Western Conference Finals tipped off Monday night when the Oklahoma City Thunder beat the host Warriors in Oakland, California, 108-102. The Thunder rallied from a 13-point halftime deficit. Oklahoma City was sparked by guard Russell Westbrook, who scored 19 points in the third quarter.
Time of the year where You know, you're going to get hit, but you got to find a way to get back up. And I think my teammates do a great job of constantly keep trusting in me and trusting my abilities to help us win games. And I came back in the second half and tried to find ways to impact the game, and it helped us out.
Russell Westbrook scored a game-high 27 points in game one. Teammate Kevin Durant added 26 points. Durant comments on the Thunder walking off the court in subdued fashion.
I mean, it was to celebrate. You know, we didn't win the championship. You know, we playing the Western Conference Finals. We playing against a great team. You know, we got a W the first game one, but it's a lot of basketball to be played, so we can't be too excited. You know, it was a good win for us, but, you know, we're not going to be jumping up and down, chest bumping on the court. You know, we got a lot more basketball to play.
Meanwhile, Kevin Durant's head coach, Billy Donovan, says it'll be a hard-fought series.
They're obviously a terrific team. So you just don't walk in here to say, oh, everything's going to be okay. You know, you have to have, a mindset to understand it. The first thing is to embrace the fact that it's going to be hard. That's the first thing. It's not going to be easy. And it was a struggle tonight. It was a struggle for us, but I thought we had some resiliency and some resolve, and we kind of pushed through.
Billy Donovan's coaching counterpart on the Warriors is Steve Kerr, who talks about what Golden State did wrong.
A lot of quick shots, way too many quick shots. You know, 5 minutes left in the game, and we're down four or whatever, and we were acting like we had 20 seconds left. The turnovers in the second half were a bigger deal to me. You know, 8 turnovers for us, 2 for them. You know, they're going to get some extra possessions on the glass, and we can't give them extra possessions with turnovers as well.
Earlier, we heard Oklahoma City's head coach Billy Donovan say it'll be a very competitive series. Golden State star Stephen Curry agrees, saying the Warriors will now try to bounce back in Game 2 Wednesday night.
You know, it's a long series. Obviously, it's not a good feeling losing, you know, Game 1, especially at home. And it'll be a different situation for us to try to bounce back. At this point in the series, having a deficit, so I think it's fun, you know, to be able to have this opportunity to come back and show what we're made of, show our resiliency, and turn this. You know, it's going to be a long series, so we got to be ready on Wednesday.
Joining me now here in Studio 22 is Dan Friedell of the Voice of America's Learning English Department. Dan, welcome back to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hi, Sonny. Nice to be here again. It's exciting to have the final four teams now for the NBA playoffs.
Only 4 teams left in the NBA playoffs, Dan. We heard one of the big stars of the playoffs, Steph Curry, the 2-time NBA Most Valuable Player, say it's going to be a long series against the Thunder. What are your thoughts? You think it's going to go 7 games, maybe?
If it goes 7 games, it'll be exciting. I mean, some people might argue that 2 of the 4 best teams left in the playoffs are in this Western Conference Finals. If you remember back when the Warriors were making their push to their record-breaking 73-win season, they had probably the best game of the year against the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors and the Thunder had probably the best game of the NBA season when it went into overtime after Oklahoma had a big lead throughout the game, and the Warriors pushed them, tied the game up, forced overtime, and Steph Curry made maybe the best shot of the season, a 3-pointer to win the game just on the inside of half court to beat Kevin Durant and Westbrook and the Thunder. So there's going to be some exciting games still to play, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it go to 6 or 7 games.
Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook both came up big for the Thunder in Game 1 with 27 points and 26 points, respectively. Dan, do you feel that those two players and the Thunder overall, that they're getting better as these playoffs progress?
Well, there's nothing like beating one of the best teams during the NBA regular season in San Antonio to get to this round of the playoffs to boost your confidence. And we've seen that the Warriors are a little bit fallible, especially this first game. So Oklahoma City can take this and run with it, I think. I mean, they talk about home court advantage being important. and Golden State now doesn't have the home court advantage anymore. If Durant and Oklahoma City can win a couple games at home, they'll really push the Warriors. It should be an interesting series to see what happens. And you know, neither team played particularly well last night, and it was a game that had a chance to go either way at the end. There was a call at the very end of the game that Steve Kerr was not happy about. So we'll see what happens in the rest of the series. It should be exciting.
Dan, let's switch over to the Eastern Conference Finals, which tips off later Tuesday night. The Cleveland Cavaliers will host the Toronto Raptors. What's been the reaction in Canada, Dan, to the Raptors getting to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time?
Well, I'm looking at an editorial right here from the Toronto Star, and it talks about one of the Toronto players, Patrick Patterson, who came to Toronto in a trade, and he was kind of depressed playing in the far north of North America in Toronto. And even though the team has been good, you know, they have their local celebrity in Drake, who's at almost all of the games that he can make it to. The team has been good for the last couple years. They've had trouble in the playoffs. But it turns out that Toronto has welcomed some of these players who might not normally have thought of Toronto as a destination that they'd want to go to in their careers. And it's the first time the Raptors have made it to the conference finals. So you have two teams playing in this finals that sort of have a real carrot at the end of the stick. I mean, if the Raptors were to make it to the NBA finals, that would be huge in all of Canada. They'd have the whole country behind them. And if Cleveland were to make it to the finals and potentially win, it would be the first time that a Cleveland team has won a major championship since the Cleveland Browns won the NFL title in 1964. So there's a lot of anticipation with this series, even though it maybe doesn't have the glamour of the series on the other side between Golden State and Oklahoma City. There is a lot of intensity in this series.
Dan, comment on the international makeup of the Raptors, including in their management team.
Right. I mean, you think about the NBA as being an international league, but out of these final four teams, the team that might have the most international influence is the Raptors. So some of our listeners might want to adopt the Raptors as their team for the next couple of weeks. For example, you have Bismack Biyombo of the Democratic Republic of Congo. You have Luis Scola from Argentina, Jonas Valančiūnas of Lithuania. And the person who put together the whole team is Masai Ujiri from Nigeria.
Interesting.
He's the general manager. So you have this community in Canada that people think maybe isn't that diverse, but you have a very diverse team. And the players notice, the players have talked about how their fan base is not just the typical Canadians. It's a very international community in Toronto that's gotten behind this team.
Finally, Dan, I mentioned earlier how the Cavs have had a bit of a rest break ahead of this series. Do you see this maybe going as long as the Golden State-Oklahoma City series?
The Cleveland Cavaliers are probably playing the best that they have played in the entire LeBron James era. If you remember, the Cavs drafted LeBron out of high school in Akron, Ohio, and he managed to bring the team to the NBA Finals where they lost to San Antonio. Then LeBron had a couple of good seasons with the Cavs, but the Cavs were never able to get back to the finals until last year when LeBron came back and helped the team make the finals against Golden State. Golden State ended up winning. But now the Cavs have played the eight games in the playoffs. They've won all eight, and they've shown a side of themselves that we didn't really think that they had. Golden State gets all this attention for making their three-pointers, but the Cavs have been the most efficient three-point shooting team in the playoffs. They have J.R. Smith. They have Channing Frye. They have Kevin Love. Those guys are all making three-pointers. They have an inside-outside game that's able to support LeBron James. They have a ball handler in Kyrie Irving. So Cleveland probably has the best team that they've had as long as LeBron has been a part of the Cleveland sports atmosphere. People are very excited about this team.
Dan Friedel of the Voice of America's Learning English Department. Thank you, Dan. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Tuesday?
This Oklahoma City Thunder Golden State Warriors game. Lots of social media attention for sure. Lots of memes that we're seeing. There was a little video. It's hard to describe without looking at it, but people can find it. It's all over social media. Basically, this guy, I won't go into the whole thing, but gets tricked out of his motorbike that he's on and gets stolen. But they've taken the different players' faces. They've taken Steph Curry's face, and they put it on this motorbike driver and gets it stolen away. And they said it's like Oklahoma City stealing the game away from the Golden State Warriors. So another tweet I saw, I really liked this. Somebody said, grief counselors will be available for the Golden State fans. So it's a lot of trash talking on social media, and it really meets the level of excitement that the fans have for this matchup. And they're expecting it to be a good series, but they're saying not so fast, Steph Curry. It's not going to be a walk in the park.
No, it's not. It's not over. This could be a very long series, I think, between those two clubs.
It could be. A couple people saying, well, I predicted that Golden State would win in five, so now they just got to win the next four, and then we're good to go. But that's, you know, the big trend in the West. In the East, the big trend right now is LeBron James, specifically this gentleman, Maverick Carter. He's one of LeBron James's business partners. He grew up with him in Ohio. He handles all of his business deals. And he did an interview with the magazine GQ. And they asked him, they said, well, I heard a rumor that LeBron's deal with Nike was worth $1 billion.
Mm.
And the guy said, I can't confirm or deny that. And they said, well, was it worth $1 billion? And he just smiles and kind of points upward. So he seems to be confirming, at least his social media says, it looks like he's confirming that LeBron has netted a deal is over $1 billion over the course of his lifetime. It's not clear. He didn't confirm specifics of the deal, but it seems like at least over his long career and then some, LeBron could make a lot of money, upwards of $1 billion from Nike. So lots of social media about that. People saying, oh, he's only making $1 billion. He's going to make Nike a lot more than that. They should have given him more money. Other people saying, oh, I guess they're going to still make those LeBron, you know, shoes and things. They're not happy about that. So lots of back and forth on that. Even though it wasn't necessarily confirmed outright, it looks like it was confirmed.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we go from the video of Steph Curry getting the bike stolen with his face superimposed, and we go from the LeBron story, which had a lot of fun gifs of, you know, people kind of making it rain with money being poured all over him, and they kind of photoshopped his face on top of a lot of photos. But this next story, there's no Photoshop involved. This is an impressive play from Casey McCravey. Now, she's a softball player for the Army at West Point, the college at West Point. And in a game against Lehigh, she's running after her teammate gets a hit. She's going to home plate. The throw at the plate, she would have been tagged out, except she jumps over the catcher and is able to tag home plate. People on social media saying that this is the most epic play they have ever seen. Play of the year.
Spectacular, I mean, play.
Spectacular play. And spectacular smarts on her part, athletic smarts, to say, okay, I'm going to be tagged out unless I can get around this catcher that has the ball. How am I going to do that? I'm just going to go right over the top of them. So even people saying, well, they should adopt this in Major League Baseball. Maybe some players would be safe. Maybe it would be a lot more interesting to watch baseball if they could do that. But, you know, she's getting a lot of social media attention for this great video all over social media. So congrats to her for having this great moment, this great show of athleticism that is now all over social media. So she, with the likes of Steph Curry and LeBron James, their faces are photoshopped on a thing. She didn't need Photoshop with this. This is actually hers. This is the real deal. So good for her on that, going airborne and scoring for Army against Lehigh.
And in terms of going airborne, Andrew, perhaps it would have been more fitting if she played for the Air Force.
Yeah, it would have been. I don't know. Maybe they would be recruiting or asking her to switch services or something. I don't know if she can do that. But no, it's, you know, if nothing else, you know, regardless of what she does with the rest of her collegiate and athletic career, she's got this great moment for the rest of her life.
Andrew Palcheski is the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the May 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The people of South Sudan are in trouble. More than two decades of North-South conflict, followed by over 2 years of factional fighting, have further weakened an already fragile nation. The insecurity has limited farmers' access to plant their fields and devastated livestock, resulting in inadequate food production. Today, South Sudan has the world's highest inflation rates. South Sudan's economy is collapsing, its people struggle to find enough to eat, and human rights violations and abuses continue with impunity, said Bob Levitt, USAID Deputy Assistant Administrator for Democracy, Conflict, and Humanitarian Assistance. To date, some 2.5 million South Sudanese have fled their homes in search of food and safe haven from violence. This year, half the country's population, over 6 million people, need humanitarian assistance. The United States is South Sudan's largest donor. Working through the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, and in collaboration with various partners, the U.S. government has so far provided nearly $1.6 billion in humanitarian assistance for conflict-affected people in South Sudan and South Sudanese refugees. But the going has been tough, partly because it is so difficult to reach many of the communities most in need of aid. One of the reasons is because although the parties to the conflict are obligated under the peace agreement to allow humanitarian aid to flow without interference, aid workers continue to deal with lengthy negotiations, numerous checkpoints along major supply routes, and other obstacles, such as informal taxation and harassment, said Deputy Assistant Administrator Levitt. While we have been able to reach communities trapped in the crossfire through ad hoc negotiations, parties to the conflict have not yet demonstrated the political will to grant full and unfettered access nationwide. The United States is committed to helping the people of South Sudan get through this crisis and get back on their feet. We urge the government to prioritize humanitarian access so that we can reach those who most need our help, said Deputy Assistant Administrator Levitt. Our assistance to people in desperate need in South Sudan is saving lives. We will continue to invest in the people of South Sudan and their efforts to build a more prosperous, peaceful future.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss whether there's a need for a fundamental change in U.S.-Africa relations. Join host Shaka Sali and his guests as they discuss U.S.-Africa relations next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Linor Mudu. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.